Well, springtime in the cabin. Maybe. Who knows? It's Alaska. We say that and the sun comes out and then we get a blizzard. So I'm not going to say, I'm not saying shit. I will tell you, we got a great podcast. I'm going to give you Glenner's concert etiquette. First date deal breakers. April Fool's fun with my buddy Craig Compo. We talked female insecurities with lovely Maria. Another episode of Fuck My Life and why not everybody deserves a ribbon. This week on the podcast.
Live from Crapper Creek, Alaska, the podcast.
Okay, let's get edumacated. Time for some nerd news. This week, cell phones turning 50, barcodes birthday, astronauts, Starlink, and great shots of Uranus. Let's talk science in your nerd news. Okay, here's a rundown this week in science. Cell phones and barcodes, happy birthday. They both turned 50 in the last week. Yep, 1973 was a big day for tech. It's when we settled on an industry standard for barcodes and also the day the first cell phone call was made. An engineer for Motorola named Martin Cooper called the head of AT&T's Bell Labs basically just to dunk on him for being the first person to make a cell phone happen. Oh, man. So the very first call was like a stalker call to talk trash? I like it. NASA announced the four astronauts for next year's Artemis 2 moon mission. They include the first woman and the first person of color to orbit the moon. Mission specialist Christina Hammock-Koch and pilot Victor Glover. They won't get to land on the moon, though. That's set for 2025, so we can see if it's made of cheese or what have you. And in other space news, Elon Musk's newest batch of Starlink satellites? Yeah, they're having some issues. And falling out of orbit. Oh, great. Elsewhere, the Mars helicopter flew faster and higher than ever before, and the James Webb telescope just got a great shot of Uranus. In fact, NASA had fun with it. They tweeted a photo, said, Uranus has never looked better. And I think I have to agree. As far as Uranus goes, that is your nerd news. I'll tell you what, to be short and bald, the world is your dating oyster. Did you know that? If you're a short guy who's losing your hair, congratulations. Guess what? You got a total package. A new poll from dating.com found it's a great time to be short, bald, and single. A third of people currently looking for a man said that being bald and under 5'7 would be no impact on their decision to date them. See, there you go. Plus, nowadays, guys are making bald look cool. For a while, it was like, oh, no, you're bald. But now it's like nobody really even, it's just kind of, it's okay. 36% said that they'd feel more comfortable making their first move on a guy who's short or missing some hair up top. So you might not even have to do anything. Just stand at the bar, put out the vibe. This last stat seems a little backhanded, though. According to the poll, one benefit of dating a guy who's short and bald is he probably won't cheat on you. Wow, ouch, really? Why is that exactly? 72% say they'd be less worried their man would cheat if he was short and bald or seen as less attractive or as seen as the less attractive one in the relationship. Overall, though, 63% of singles said personality way more important than any looks. And I totally agree. I just looked out with a girl that had both. Good personality and she's hot. So that's... what she sees in me, I don't know, because I'm not short and I'm not bald, but I don't know, she dated me anyway, and here we are. I don't know, our first date, it could have gone better. It was weird. It was like a Halloween party or thing, Em and I. Like, that wasn't really our first date. That's where we kind of met. Our first date, I don't remember what it was. I honestly don't remember. Well, but you got to look for those deal breakers, especially on a first date. There's red flags, right? I mean, if he arrives on a mobility scooter, ladies, do I have to continue? Or she's running late because she said QAnon went long. All right. He has to split the dinner bill and you're like at Wendy's? Are you kidding? Really? She insists her mom tags along. Great. Or if his idea of conversation starts with, hey, want to hear me burp my entire name? It's a real deal breaker if she gets almost as drunk as you are. That's that's your jam, bro. Or if during the dinner you're at a nice restaurant and he whispers, "Quick, Doc, it's my wife." Deal breaker. Or if it's really hard to even understand what she's saying over the constant beeping of her ankle monitor, that's probably a deal breaker. And ladies, if he insists you only call him by his gaming online handle of Nipple Tickle 69, yeah, check please. All right, it's time for that segment of the show where we make you feel a little bit better about your miserable little life at the expense of others. Little segment we like to call
Fuck My Life.
And we begin. Today, I told my boss that my grandmother had died to get a day off of work, and it worked. So my grandmother showed up at the office looking for me because she wanted to go shopping.
Fuck my life.
Grandma, you blew the lid off this. Today, I finally got an interview for that big job I really wanted. The interviewer looked at my resume and asked, "So what have you been doing for the past 10 years? Apparently binge watching Netflix? Not the right answer.
Fuck my life.
Today I told my boss I was too sick to come into work. He asked if I had a late night last night. I told him, "No, I stayed in the house." Well, apparently I got really, really drunk and actually ran into him at the bar the night before and simply didn't remember it.
Fuck my life.
So I went on a date with a really cute guy who kept checking his phone every 5 minutes. When I asked him if everything was okay, he told me, "No, I'm just playing Candy Crush."
Fuck my life.
Here's another first date. Went on a first date with a guy that I really liked. Except he spent the whole time talking about his pet iguana and how it's the love of his life.
Fuck my life.
Hey, lady, it was a first date. You dodged a bullet. And finally, today I took my kids to a petting zoo, and my toddler decided to feed the goats her entire bag of popcorn. That's when the entire herd of goats swarmed her and ate her brand new $200 custom-made shoes I had just bought her.
Fuck my life.
Wow. Petting zoo was a bad decision. I'm sorry.
From the farthest north rock station in the world, it's the Crapper Creek Podcast.
All right, we are between breakfast and lunch. Some would call it brunch. Some would get hangry. I call it a foodie roundup. Here we go. In your foodie roundup, here's a serious question that's trending right now. Is pizza an Italian food or an American food? It's in the news after a history professor in Italy claimed it's more American than Italian. So the Italians, of course, been freaking out. The Italian government made a formal request with the UN to get Italian cuisine World Heritage status. He claims carbonara sauce was first made in Chicago, 1953, and that Italy doesn't really do traditional Parmesan anymore either. Says the only place you can find anything close to that is 50 years ago is in Wisconsin. What? Basically says Italians got to America and started tweaking their recipes, then Italy followed suit. His beef with pizza is that it originally didn't have tomato sauce. He says that happened in New York, not Naples. It's the reason it's become so popular worldwide, so America deserves most of the credit. Take that, Italy. But here's one. You go out to dinner with your friends. What's your policy on people who start eating before everyone has their meal? 62% said it's not cool. 87% said it's not cool to argue with the host about wait times because you see empty tables. That's not... 82% said it's not cool to bring outside food. Well, duh, why would you even do that? 73% say it's not cool to ask for something that's not on the menu. 58% say it's not cool to tip less than 20% if the service was good. 37% say it's not cool to take photos of your meal. 63% say, no, that's fine. And about half say it's not cool to ask for your check to be split more than four ways. Oh, yeah, come on. Who's going to do that math? Stop that. Are you a fan of cup of noodles? Are you a fan of breakfast? Now you can get both. Cup of Noodles is now selling breakfast-flavored ramen. Tastes like sausage, eggs, pancakes, and maple syrup. They say it's supposed to be like a classic diner breakfast in a cup. Well, each cup's only $1.18, so... The label says it's all artificially flavored, but the company says there are also visible ingredients like sausage and eggs. It's even better with extra syrup, they said. All right, I'm going to take their word for that. Okay. Breakfast in a cup with noodles. Hey, do you have a soda stream? You know those things? Here's something anyone who bought a soda stream thought they'd use it constantly and never did. Well, turns out there's another use. Somebody posted a hack using their soda stream to keep salad fresh. The canisters you use with them are filled with CO2, which some companies already use to keep veggies fresh. So here's the hack. Just take a bag of salad, leave a small opening to fit the soda stream nozzle in, pump some CO2 in there, and seal it back up. Wow, okay. Pop-Tarts. Love me some Pop-Tarts. They've got a new... Oh, this sounds unreal. Frosted banana bread flavoring. It hits shelves later this month. I'm so down with that. Elsewhere, Taco Bell letting fans pick their next throwback menu item. Remember they did the beefy crunch burrito, the cool ranch Doritos Locos Tacos, and they just let you kind of bring them back. This is a weird thing for a condiment company to branch out to. Heinz just announced they're going to start making tattoo ink. What? Heinz 57 Red. They partnered with an ink company to make it. It's not edible. I don't know why, but okay. Foods most likely to give you food poisoning. Bagged salads and leafy greens. Deli cheese, ground beef, onions, turkey, chickens, papayas, peaches, cantaloupe, and flour. And finally, would you try peanut butter and jelly cheeseburgers? That's the thing, the PBB&J pub burger. You can get one at Culver's. Yeah, it's a burger. Cheeseburger with peanut butter and jelly on it. I'll pass. It's your foodie roundup. Yeah. All right, joining us in the cabin here at Crapper Creek, my good buddy, cohort, and partner in crime, Mr. Craig Compo, is with us from Compo's, right on the river, right on the price. Hey, how's it going, buddy?
It's good. How are you?
Excellent. Now, last week was April Fool's Day. Now, you and I, with our Bigfoot pranks and some of the other silly ones, you are, of course, the king of pranks and have done a whole bunch of really good ones. And one of the, probably the most famous every year April Fool's Day, which was last week, you put out a large ad in the newspaper.
A quarter page ad
as a prank with our good friend and your partner in crime, local attorney and gadfly, one Bill Satterberg.
At his lavish 4th Avenue office.
Lavish 4th Avenue office. Such a dive. Now, and every year you pull out an ad of him representing somebody ridiculous. Tell us this year's, because it was in the paper, and it was hilarious.
We've done it for years, and it's because, if you know Bill, it's believable that he would take some of these cases.
Yes,
that's it. And his office gets calls all the time and says, I can't believe you're defending this guy. And, of course, he's a media whore. He loves free press.
Yes, he does. So it doesn't matter what you say as long as you get the name right.
Yeah, so this year it was local attorney to defend hunter that shot a cow in a bull-only area. And of course, we got a picture of a cow moose standing there, and he's defending a guy, Jeremy Woke, who
Jeremy Woke. All right, I see where this is going.
And he was at at his hunting camp on foot near LGB Lake, which is spelled ELGEBE LGB Lake. Yeah, and anyway, this Jeremy, he shot a cow in a bull only area after mimicking sounds, and he heard the moose urinating, and then he heard it beat in the brush like a bull would do, but he couldn't see it. Well, it came through the woods, and it's a cow, and he shot it. And the defense is that he insisted it identified as a bull through its actions, and so he shot it, and Bill Satterberg agreed to defend him in this case,
and comedy ensues.
Yes, well, my favorite part of the story that I read in the Newsminer was that the hunter actually left proof of sex attached. This was a cow. So anyway, that's what? That. And biologists at Fish and Game said they'd never seen that before. You know, they'd never seen that. I would just try to picture that. Oh, it's kind of bothersome, isn't it?
So that's funny.
Yeah. And he was just trying to feed himself and his life partner, Hank. And Bill said in the paper, quote, not that there's anything wrong with it.
No, of course there's not.
So anyway, we'll see how the course turns out. You know, he's defended Jim Wilde and some other prominent Alaskan hunters over the years. So we'll see how this one turns out. But
and this is just a classic. Now, Compo has helped us out here as well. Last year, if you remember, we had you on representing a group called the Interior Motorboaters Association.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the Chena River is a very popular boating area in the summer for floaters. There's
too
always
many.
The battle between all the people on floating rafts and what have you, and then the actual motorboats.
So yeah, there was an ordinance at the borough that on April 1st we went out last year,
and that went something like this, because this too got us in a little bit of hot water. It's amazing just how exciting and how popular the Chena River has become over the years in downtown Fairbanks as a recreation place during the summer, boats and floating and everything. Joining us, nobody knows more about rivers and boats than this man right here, and it's Craig Compo from Compos, of course, right on the river, right on the price. How are you doing?
See how I slipped that in there? Yeah, I love
now, it. Now, you are with you're with so many different outdoor organizations and everything, and you have another organization you're with. And that is the IMA?
Yeah, Interior Motorboating Association.
Right. Yep. And so, you guys, of course, as far as motorboating, nobody knows more about motorboating than you guys.
Well, we've been doing it for a long time, since 1945 the family started it. So, but we've seen things change, you know, on the river in the last few years.
Oh, yeah.
Safety issues, you know, there's so many people now using the river, downtown especially, to float. A lot of floaters going down the river, and you're trying to mix that with motorboats and... So we've come up with an ordinance we're putting in front of the Fairbanks Borough Assembly. I appreciate the chance to...
Oh, yeah, no sweat.
It's 2022-27 to provide for designated interior waterways for non-motorized river use, including raft, canoes, paddleboards, and other non-powered float-only devices.
Right, you see kayaks, you see floats, paddleboards are big. They're all over the river.
Yep. So this proposal is about safety and responsibility on the Chena River. And so what we're trying to do is suggest that the non-motorized groups... be limited to like above Fort Wainwright and below Pike's Landing.
So they would have to stay above that bridge up there, or put in down like at the pump house and go south.
Down.
They could go to Pike's to the pump house.
Right, right.
But this proposal would eliminate
non-motorized
in the greater Fairbanks area on the Chena River. So that would be your paddleboards, your kayaks,
canoes,
floating.
And the reason is safety, Glenn. You know, they over the last few years, and I've been motorboating forever, but when you're on the river and you're going up the river and they're coming, you come around the corner, there's 20, 30 floaters and they don't follow the rules of the river. They're just everywhere. You have to come off step. You've got to idle around until you get past them. You get back on step. The next corner, there's 20, 30 floaters. And it's dangerous, really. And it's expensive because you have to power up every time in the price of fuel. So we're just trying to, spread out some of the users of the river. And so the Upper Chena is beautiful. It's nice down below Pikes. It's a wider part of the river.
So this proposal would eliminate any kind of rafts, kayaks, paddle boards, canoes.
Unless they have a motor. If you have a raft with an engine on it, you're okay.
Okay. Obviously, I haven't seen too many paddle boards with engines.
No,
so they would be out on the Chena.
Yeah, there are electric surfboards now
and
things like that. But people can upgrade their paddleboard too if they want to. But it's just on a sunny day, you've been there in the summer.
Oh, sure.
It's just thick with people, you know.
And this will eliminate that. And it'll make it a lot safer for them and for the boaters, motor boaters who love to motorboat, which I love motorboating.
I do too. I really do. And so we're not eliminating like Noise Slough. You can still go on Noise Slough.
Okay.
You know, the pond by the Parks Highway Bridge?
The little big pond?
Yeah, they can still go in there. It's just you got to stay off the main current flow of the river where motorboating is.
When do you think this would take place?
Well, there's public hearing where there's a public input on April 27th at the Borough Building. Members of the public, especially those that own motorboats and personal watercraft, were encouraging to testify there at Borough Assembly. And for more information, go to our website. It's www.ilovemotorboating.com.
There you go. ilovemotorboating.com. Craig Compo, IMA.
Yep.
And looks like we're going to get these floaters off the Chena River and make it safe for motorboating
once again.
It's always safety first. Thanks, Craig.
Right.
I was just looking at this poll. It says half of Americans love sentiment home decor signs. Ugh, hate those. Too bad they're nothing but lies. Don't let your walls fall for this scam. You know the ones. Live, love, laugh. Happy home, happy life. You know, all those ones are usually on a piece of wood, right? Somebody has one up. I mean, I think it started with Home Sweet Home, which that's okay, that's fine. But the rest of them are just a bunch of crap. I want to do a company that makes honest sentiment home decor signs. Live for friends, love for family, lie for sex. Shut the F up and eat your ramen already. See, that would be a great sentimental home decor sign. This sign covers a hole punched in the wall during a drunken rage. That would be proper. I think I'd need two of those. Life is better when you're laughing. So get high and watch SpongeBob. That would be a great sign. Hate has no home here. Just seething resentment. Family is everything. Only blow them off for important stuff. Embrace what makes you different. Just don't flaunt it in front of Uncle Earl. See, these would be great home decor signs. I could see them on a wooden placard being sold at Fred Meyer or Pier 1. Never stop looking up, but please don't judge our popcorn ceilings. Or how's this one? This home is full of love. Yeah, we charge by the hour.
From the farthest north rock station in the world, it's the Crapper Creek Podcast.
Maria.
Hi.
Hey, what are you doing, baby?
All right, so I found this thing online that's kind of interesting, Maria. It went viral, and it is a list of things that women tend to be somewhat insecure about because they think guys care. But, well, we probably care less than you thought, and a bunch of men weighed in on some of these things. So, I went, all right, one is gray hairs. Silver streaks and natural hair color in general are both kind of in fashion right now. A lot of guys wish it was always the trend. We don't care about gray hairs. Do you worry about gray hairs?
No, I tend to not, but you do.
I don't care about gray hairs. I'm a blonde. Yeah. I don't even have any except on my face.
Oh, well, that's my point.
I know, if I grow my beard out, I'll look like a blonde-haired surfer Santa Claus. Here's another one, your face without makeup. Some women will do anything to avoid being seen with a naked face, but going without makeup can make you seem confident, and confidence itself is attractive. And you're not a big makeup wearer
anyway. I'm not a makeup fan at all, yeah.
You do, and when you do, it's impressive when you do it. But here's another one, body hair. For example, a lot of women would freak out if a guy rubbed their leg and got stubble. I know you're crazy about the stubble on the legs, but we don't really care.
Yeah, no, neither one of us.
Here's another one, cellulite, stretch marks, and anything else that might be considered a blemish. Men just don't notice them as much as you'd think. One guy said he never noticed his girlfriend's cellulite until she pointed it out.
That sounds about right. Women do know, for sure.
And number two on the list was freckles. Whether it's a few on the face or lots all over, a lot of guys say they're kind of sexy. Not something you should feel that you have to cover up with makeup, that's for sure. But you're not, I don't even know if you have a freckle. Probably because you're Italian, and Italians just don't have freckles.
I don't tend to have freckles, and I think yours are super cute, so.
Okay.
There you go.
I got them. And number one was boob size. One guy said, quote, a good portion of us don't really give it up. We're just happy they're there with us. We don't care the size.
That sounds about right.
So all of those said, was there something missing from that? I don't think there is. But really, these things sound like more things that women are worried about other women noticing than men.
I actually believe that. That sounds about right, too.
See, I knew we went to the right person about these. So anyway, I don't care about your gray hairs, your face without makeup, your extra body hair, cellulite, freckles, or your boob size. There you go.
Oh, you don't care about my boob size at all, huh?
Not at all. I like them. Oh. I like them just the way they are.
Love you.
Saw a list here. Wallet Hub put out their annual list of the most and least stressed out states. The most? A lot of them are in the South. Mississippi, Louisiana, New Mexico, West Virginia, Arkansas, Alabama, Kentucky, Texas, Oklahoma. Uh-oh. Least? Minnesota, Utah, New Hampshire, South Dakota, Massachusetts, Iowa. How those is? North Dakota, Connecticut, Virginia, New Jersey. Okay. If you're wondering where Alaska was, we were like 13th. But what put us up there, they ranked it on like health and safety, money-related stress, work-related. We were number one in work-related stress. Really? The state with ice road truckers and deadliest catch and oil workers and loggers and any construction guy or cop or anything that has to work outside at 50 below. Really? Boy, I can't imagine why we'd all be so stressed out. If you took that off, we'd drop significantly. But no, that's the reason we were so high. But, you know, maybe it's just all those other little run-of-the-mill daily things. Yeah, there's a lot of little tiny things that stress us out, right? Not finding the other sock. The check engine light. The unattended shopping cart that you know is going to hit your car. That mystery smoke alarm in the house that won't stop chirping at 3 a.m. and you walk around from room to room because you swear it's that one. Plastic bags that like just kind of float and then drift underneath your car on the freeway. Oh. Broken parking meters. Can we use them? Can we not? We need an answer because that big dude with the yellow stick and the orange vest downtown is walking towards my car. You know the guy I'm talking about. Oh, here's a good stressor. How about that trip to the post office during your lunch break? Yeah. Full DVR. When your Apple Watch yelling at you, telling you to be mindful, whatever that means. Oh, here's another stressor. Trying to use the shower stream to get that one hair off your bar of soap. I mean, for those of you that still use bars. Oh, here's another good one. That thing that makes us all have to find the pictures with bicycles in them to make sure we're not a robot. I'm not a robot. And why can't a robot figure that? It's AI. Pretty soon, they're going to find that out too. Then what do we do? Music from Shinedown, 95.9 radio, rolling up near the 8 o'clock hour. All right, I love this story. This came out last week. We kind of talked about it. Bill in North Carolina would ban participation trophies. Yes, everybody gets a ribbon. Not anymore, not North Carolina. Way to go, North Carolina. Here's the thing. When I was a kid, I hated those. I hated participation trophies and ribbons. Didn't like it. Some Republican senators, of course, you know, Democrats wouldn't do it. Eliminate Participation Trophies Act. It would ban them all in youth sports, even events in North Carolina that are sponsored by state or local governments. If an event or league gets government funding, any trophies or ribbons they give out would have to be based on, quote, identified performance achievements. The idea is to stop making kids think they're a winner just because they showed up for something. People in favor of the trophies think the whole topic is overblown, which it probably is. Sure, in general, most of those trophies and ribbons go to young kids like 6 or 7. They usually get phased out by middle school at the latest anyway. Question is, are they just a nice, harmless souvenir for kids to get, or are they damaging in some way? I can see both sides of that story. Right? I mean, I get it, but like I said, when I got them as a kid, I knew what it was. It wasn't anything. It didn't go up on the fridge. It went in a drawer somewhere, and you'd get this ribbon, and you'd go, God, why did I even get this for? What did I do that I got this for? Now, I go with Ricky Bobby. If you ain't first, you're last. That's life. Gotta teach kids real life lessons. You know, there's other things we could get. While we're at it in kids' sports, how about we get rid of orange wedges at halftime? Or that outfielder who spends the entire game like kicking and drawing in the dirt. How about 6 a.m. Saturday morning ice time? Could we eliminate that? Coaches yelling at our kid for screwing up. That's our job. Or those end-of-season parties at the absolute worst pizza place in town. Or that one kid that always needs a ride home after practice. No. How about eliminating all that horrible forced conversation we have to have with the same parents every weekend? Or who's bringing juice boxes? How about T-ball? I mean, just in general, it's torture. Can we just stop T-ball? Or indoor soccer for 5-year-olds? Tweet, the ball's out of bounds. Tweet, the ball's out of bounds. Tweet, the ball's out of bounds. I think the Easter Bunny's better than Santa Claus in a lot of ways when you think about it. He doesn't use slave labor. Let's start there. Easter Bunny, really your only chance to see a walking, talking rabbit without dropping acid. And he uses the door, you know, like normal people. He's always carrying around a basket of grass, some right stoners. Hey! And get this, in a pinch, you can actually take the Easter Bunny, hack off his foot, and it's good luck. And by the way, he doesn't judge children for being naughty and nice, which we all know is simply affected by implicit bias created by systematic iniquities. I went a little far on that one.
From the farthest north rock station in the world, it's the Crapper Creek Podcast.
Did you hear Hell's Bells coming back a couple weeks? Yep. Order the Spur, very excited. And then, of course, summer comes. We'll get more concerts. So it's time to start learning. Also, if you didn't know this, Coachella is coming up next weekend down, you know, in the desert down there. Nowhere near here. They're in California, is it? Nevada? I don't even know where it is. Anyway, somewhere weird. That and Burning Man. I know they just do them out. All right, we'll just do it here. So I don't know. Anyway, I do know they're going to live stream it this year. All six stages, so that'll be interesting. But now, if you're going to go to a concert, you know there is concert etiquette, right? And there are certain things only jerks do at concerts. And we asked that question on the X-Rock Morning Show Facebook page, and you guys didn't... you didn't disappoint. Number one on the list, outperform the performer. Nobody came to hear you sing. Or watch you dance, rein it in, especially if somebody politely asks you to just stop. Nothing worse than hearing somebody wanting to sing at the... just stop it. Shoving your way through. You know what? Unless it's a mosh pit, just behave. Get there earlier. Insult the artists, you know, throwing things, trying to get on stage, or even booing. If you're not having fun, or if something upsets you, just leave. Don't ruin it for everybody else. Be on your phone. I hate the people that just hold their phone up. You can't see. It's bad enough their head is in front of you, but then they lift their hands with their phone to videotape footage that's not going to be very good, that they're never going to watch or share again. Especially when the people that like a whole song or like a whole concert, they hold it up. They miss the whole thing. Why don't you watch it with your eyes? It's amazing how many people do that. Get too drunk. Oh, that's another classic move. Litter. Yeah, pick up your stuff. Disrespect families, like the guy, you know, when there's kids and they're yelling or not looking out for others, you know, and they're not even in the mosh pit. They're just bouncing around, smashing into people. It's like, dude. Kind of like the guy, not on the list, people that don't time out their drugs. No shirt guy. Guy with girlfriend on shoulders. Dude, what are you doing? A, you're ruining it for everybody behind you that can't see. And B, why would you have your girl up there making eye contact with the lead singer and showing him her boobs while you're sitting down there like the moron underneath? Just don't do it. Don't even get me started on concert t-shirt guy. Don't even get me started. Or Mr. holds their ears during the whole thing. Then move back. All right, so I just gave you the gamut of what to do and what not to do. And that includes at Hell's Bells in a couple weeks. Just follow all those rules. You'll be fine. Another fun one next week. Oh, we've got a trifecta of fun. We're going to talk taxes, token, and Earth Day. We've got Tax Day. We've got 420. And, of course, Earth Day to celebrate. We're going to do it all next week on the podcast. So light them if you got them. In the cabin of Crapper Creek. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Live from Crapper Creek, the podcast, with Glenner, produced by Mike Cook. For the full morning show, log on to the live stream at xrock959.com. This has been a Glenn Entertainment production.